will keep our end up, and they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
A very good morning as you begin your football weekend on 91.3 Sports FM, Breakfast with the Blues. Sadly, it's been way too long since the Mighty Blues last held the Premiership Cup aloft. However, your official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues, remain to bring you the best start to your footy weekend on radio today. Your hosts today are myself, John Allen and Craig Bradford. And as always on the program today, we look at all AFL and Blues news. Special guest live interview today is 99 Premiership hero Mule the Cranium Hannah. Kate Jezelenko joins us for Kate's Plate, a dish best served cold. As always, we cross live to the hyphen David Rees-Jones for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front. And as we would have been playing the Dogs tonight, we will look back at some great games with a hyphen. The weekly whack and anything else in footy that we can squeeze into the hour. Also, we always need to thank our sponsors. We thank WA Blues major sponsor Hyundai WA, Platinum sponsors Allmark and Associates, Master Pitcher Framers and the Carlton Football Club home in WA Empire at 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlane. And a thank you to Bubbro Butchers for their season raffle participation. John.
I've got nothing. Keep going.
You've got nothing. All right. While we're there, why don't we cross right over now to Craig with Blues News.
Okay. We'll start up with the injury updates with a bit of bad news coming through during the week with Tom De Koning spraining an ankle and now looks very doubtful for round two.
Very doubtful.
Not what we need with Cruiser going down. We've also Caleb Marchbank and Zach Fisher look very doubtful for round two as well, with Marchbank with a still got bruised knee. Cruiser and Charlie are tracking well. Brody Kemp's by reports should be joining the main group shortly. Full training started back this week. I've seen a little clip of Levi Casbolt flexing his muscles a bit, so he's pretty keen to get back. Director of High Performance Andrew Russell said there's no problems in covering crew with the injury to Cruiser. He said with the way Pitonet and Levi are training, it's looking pretty good. It was also good to see our joint captains Patrick Cripps and Karen Harrington. And our Indigenous players are paying their respects to the elders, both past, present and emerging, in the National Reconciliation Week. And across to you, Johnny.
Thanks, mate. Welcome, guys. Sorry I'm a little bit late there. Now, it's really funny, though, with these guys that come on before us, the AFL Masters. We love them. They do a great job. But you know, with old people, how sometimes they like to toddle along, right? So they finish their show, they start the promo ads and the sweepers, and then they stand around in the studio and talk about going to the Bridge Club or whatever that they do after this show.
Bingo, wasn't it?
And as a result, I've got no time to get Kate on the line and everything else. And speaking of which, we all know what that sound is. It's time for the Ukrainian sniper. Who she got lined up this week?
Look out.
Kate's Plate.
Looking forward to this.
I'm very much looking forward to it. It is the one. It is the only. Kate Jezelenko. Kate, good morning. Welcome for the first time today.
Good morning, boys. How you going?
Good morning, Kate.
We're going really, really well. Now,
I wasn't sure if I had you, Johnny, or if Donald Trump was coming on this morning.
Are you speechless?
Thanks for the entertainment.
You know, I learned a very, very valuable lesson last night. As delicious and as sweet as it all sounds and tastes, mixing tequila and Coke is not. I don't condone nor condemn alcohol use, as long as it's in moderation. But in last night's case, with the Trump mask on, singing classics, it probably was not the best idea. So thanks for reminding me about that, Kate. You're an absolute ripper. Now, you're up in country Clunes today. Tell us a little bit about Clunes before we get into Kate's Plate.
Just up on Trent's farm in Clunes. It's absolutely magnificent. Just
whose farm?
Trent.
The exfoliator. Right, up on his farm in Clunes there. Now, is there anyone famous from a football sense, from Carlton or anyone else that we can think of from Clunes?
I think there's quite a few of them. I think there's John Nichols, there's Val Perovic, there's, oh, God, there's heaps of them all over the place, from around the area, so, yeah.
That's right, that's right. And the big one from Clones, of course, wasn't a Carlton player, was the great Bobby Davis. What a legend. Yeah, we had John Nichols from Maryborough, about 30 k's down the road from Clones, and Val Perovic from Ballarat, and Tom Williamson, current player from North Ballarat. So, quite a few famous players from around there. Now, Kate, are you ready to go? Are you ready to serve up a nice dish of cold shoulder and hot tongue to someone or something today? What's going on Kate's plate?
I am. Well, on Kate's plate today, I'm serving up a dish of cold shoulder and hot tongue to the AFL itself and their ongoing bizarre figuring regime. The Carlton Football Club has continued to increase its membership, support the AFLW program like no other club, and has toiled diligently through the mud, out of the mire, and into financial independence. A stronger Carlton is a stronger AFL. So after a 2019 of little primetime slots, how are we remunerated for our hard work to the AFL? Well, for the first month back post-coronavirus, Geelong only leave the Cattery once, the Pies typically get their dream run, Brisbane don't leave home, and everyone gets primetime slots. Once again, though, the AFL has conspired against the Blues with no primetime slots, no games at the NCG, and a trip to Geelong. What do we have to do at Carlton to finally get a fair go at success with an emerging side? AFL, you didn't eat your peas or eat your meat on Kate's plate, so no pudding for you until fixed your fare for all.
Absolutely. Well no said. Pudding for the AFL. Well, a well-deserved whack.
I reckon it is fair enough, too. I was getting into that.
Not happy.
Either we.
No, we have to go down to the Blooming Cattery. We don't get any games at the G. We don't get any revenue as a result. While these other clubs are getting the prime time slots and all their advertising money, it's brutal.
That Geelong ground, it's not even a ground. I played back in my day a game for Fitzroy under-17s back there.
It's Roy. God, how old are you? That's all right, mate.
Because we were zoned to that area. Adrian Gleeson played that game as well. And that game, the ground, you just can't... There's no width to it.
It's tiny, yeah.
It's
yeah,
a horrible, yeah, shocking ground. And
yeah. I went to one game there when I was visiting my mate in Colac.
Colac.
And home of Luke Hodge, of course, the Exterminator's great mate. But they're still bumpkins. I don't care what anyone says. But I went and watched this game with me mates down at Geelong at the Cattery, and it was Geelong versus Sydney. And the only good thing about it was Sydney towed them up. It was really good. I was sitting there with my Carlton jumper on amongst Geelong people, which was pretty brave, I've got to say. But
they're not the smartest tools down there, though, John. It's okay.
They sure ain't, boy.
I just can't see why, when there's no crowds, why can't we get a game at Icon Park?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But anyway.
I agree.
Right, Kate. Well, look, that's been fantastic. Very cerebral conversation there and a very, very good point about the AFL. I'm glad you whacked them and thanks for bringing up my antics last night.
You on again tonight? I hope so.
I could be on again tonight because I'm actually having pizza and drinks at my fellow panelists' house tonight and I might just bring the karaoke and the Trump mask there and we might have a bit of fun. I don't know.
I'll be watching.
What's the weather like out there in Clones? Nice and cold?
It's cold. About 10 degrees at the moment. I think we're heading for a massive top of 12 today.
So you'll have the bonfire out again tonight and just relaxing there with your friends, having a few drinks and shenanigans yourself?
Absolutely beautiful.
Well, look, have fun doing that. Stay safe. Mate, the feedback we're getting, as you know, is just fantastic. We love you being on the show. We appreciate your time every week. And thank you very much, Ukrainian Sniper. We'll talk to you again next week.
See you, Kate.
No worries. Do me a big favour. Give Milhanna all my love. Tell him I adore him.
Will do.
My goodness.
See you, Kate.
Okay, Kate.
See you next week.
See you, Kate.
See ya.
Take care.
See ya.
She's spot on, though.
She's spot on.
But I'll tell you the only way we're going to start to get prime time and everything, start winning.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, before we cross over to you for AFL news, I just want to chuck out this little bit of news which relates to what we're doing with footy, and it's just the announcement yesterday of the third stage of the restrictions being lifted for the COVID-19 lockdown. From June the 6th, one person per 2 metres square, up to 100 people for a licensed area. What that means is that within an hour of that announcement, I was sending an email to the Empire saying, we can't wait to get back. We miss you. We want to support you. We want to bring everyone down there and make sure it's a winner when it opens up again. I got an email fired back within an hour. I'll tell you what, we're so good for each other. We're just a match made in heaven. They can't wait to get us back. We can't wait to be there. So, guys, just keep your finger on the pulse on the WA Blues Facebook page and on here and everything else in regards to when things are going to be back, because when they are back, when we can do a function, whatever that's going to look like, however many people we're allowed to have, it's going to be an absolute ripper. We'll get all the Carlton people back together again watching the games live at the Empire, and it's going to be a ripper. Over to you, Brownie, for some AFL news.
Yep. Well, firstly, I look forward to getting back to the Empire. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, as we are all aware, the fixture for round 2 to 5 was released last Monday, and a new time slot was unveiled at 6:05 Eastern Standard Time on a Sunday evening. As anticipated, Collingwood and Richmond will kick off proceedings on Thursday night, the 11th of June. We play Melbourne at Marvel Stadium on Saturday, the 13th of June at 2:35 Western Standard Time. We then play Geelong down at that Alphabet Stadium on Saturday, the 20th of June at 5:40 Western Standard Time. Then Essendon at the G, Saturday, 27th of June, 5:40. And round 5 will be against the Saints on Saturday, 4th of July, 11:45 Western Standard Time. Rounds 6 and 7 are expected to be announced after round 3, and the AFL is hopeful that the SA and WA continue to relax COVID-19 enforced restrictions, which ultimately allow the 4 teams based in those states to play matches at homes, this removing the requirement to be based in southeast Queensland.
Yes.
Yesterday afternoon, clubs were told that there will be no increase to the interchange bench for 2020. AFL Chief Executive Gillon McLachlan said as the quarters will remain shortened to 16 minutes, they see no need to increase the size of the bench. Clubs have gained a mini victory with permission from the AFL to increase the headcount in their off-field football staff. As of June 1, 27 staff will be allowed in each club's football department, with that number increased to 28 if a club wants to include a second doctor on its books. For matches, clubs will be allowed to employ 30 off-field staff, as well as 3 media department officials. 8 staff members will be allowed in the coaches' boxes and 10 permitted on the interchange bench, down from 12 previously allowed. The AFL is also growing more optimistic of fans being allowed to attend games this season. They were already looking at some type of plans. They're very confident that they'll be able to get supporters back at some stage in the season. They also working within the rules and working with venues to see how this will work out, so stay tuned for that. The Western Bulldogs are keen to have cardboard cutouts of its members at their first home game when the season resumes in empty stadiums.
That's what they do every week, isn't it?
Oh, hang on, wait. The Dogs are seeking corporate support to cover the cost of printing to ensure the project is a break-even, with a cutout set to be on show for their first when they host GWS at Marvel Stadium, I think is in round 3. Now, Collingwood is also looking to have cardboard cutouts of its members for the game against Richmond, which I think will be a big improvement of their normal supporters at their matches.
As soon as you said that, I pictured me with a hoodie and a balaclava running around with a black permanent marker, scribbling out the teeth. That'd be gold.
Well, Kane Little was on, I can't remember which radio station he was on, and he was also talking about that we're looking at something but he wouldn't reveal.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Blow up dolls, I'd say.
Also to the 6th annual Big Freeze to support Neil Danaher's Fight MND fundraiser will go ahead on Monday, the 8th of June. This year, one player from every club will participate prior to round 2. So far, we have Toby Green from GWS and our superstar captain, Patrick Cripps, who yesterday reached out to the Carlton supporters to suggest what he should wear going down the slide. And at the moment, also joining Crippo and Green, Gold Coast is Brandon Ellis, Essendon, Orazio Fantasia, Brisbane, Mitch Robertson, Bulldogs, Bailey Smith, Richmond, Jack Rewalt, Melbourne, Christian Petrarca.
Now, with Paddy, I would have thought with a name like Patrick and being Irish, known as Paddy, that it'd be time for a return
leprechaun.
Of the leprechaun out.
Oh, I thought of that.
Now, due to mothballs, alcohol, stains and all sorts of manner of smells and hygiene issues, I had to finally ditch the old leprechaun outfit back in the day. Yeah,
no.
I had to lay it to bed. It was a real shame. But I'm sure that someone could get one. I reckon he's got something better planned anyway.
So. Will Bailey Smith from the Bulldogs go down as like a fast car or something? Or?
It'd probably go down as a cardboard cutout, mate.
Right, yeah, could be.
Yeah, anyway. So is that it for AFL News,
That's
mate?
That's it for AFL News,
All right,
mate.
Beautiful. Okay, just a quick reminder then, guys. if you want, got a question for Mil Hanna or for the hyphen coming up, you can send an SMS to 0429 913 913. The SMS number again, 0429 913 913. If you got a question for Mil, a question for the hyphen, or a question for any of the three idiots that sit on this panel of the three amigos, we're happy to answer it. So send us an SMS and we'll see how we go. Now, very important, today is the 30th of May. That means that you've only got today and tomorrow to buy tickets in the May raffle. A reminder again of the May raffle. No, Bradford still hasn't got his ticket.
You know, I don't know how to do the PayPal.
You idiot. It's $5 a ticket. Or 3 for $10, and the first prize is the Sid Jackson signed Blue Out jumper, beautifully framed by our sponsors, Platinum sponsors, Master Picture Framers in Cannington. And if you are a Blues member, you can go down there, get 20% off all your framing as well. So support Blair and Maria Buckingham at Master Picture Framers. They're absolute rippers. Now, this jumper is magnificent, like I say. And runner-up prize, we've got some polo shirts. So hopefully you're not anything bigger than an XL and you can have a polo shirt.
That counts, Brownie.
If you get drawn out for the runner-up prize, okay? So we'll sort that out and we'll draw that on the 1st of June. So you've only got today and tomorrow to buy a ticket. So there we go. That's
the
raffle.
You've got to be in it to win it.
You've got to be in it to win it.
Today I will be buying a ticket.
You will.
Because
I'll set you up.
No, because my mum was a huge Sid Jackson fan. I've told her about it, and she's not one for keeping stuff like that, but she said I have to buy her a ticket. So
I'll make you buy her 10.
Righto.
It's not Mother's Day.
Righto then, guys. We're going to go for a very quick 2-minute sponsor break, and when we come back, would you believe it? Mil Hanna,
the one,
the only, the cranium, as Rex Hunt used to call him. And he'll be coming on for a bit of a chat. We're really looking forward to that one. Go the mighty Blue Baggers. Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor. And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're here with John Allen, Chris Brownie and Craig Bradford on Breakfast with the Blues. And now it is time to bring on our very, very special guest today. But before we do, just a little bit of a trip down memory lane for everyone.
To centre half forward, well played, McGuinness. Hannah onto it. Still with Hannah. They'll love this if he kicks it. He has. Mr. Kernahan. Front spot, Langford. Oh, and Hannah's going to kick a third. Look at that one, Will.
Mil Hanna, welcome to Breakfast with the Blues for the first time ever. How are you going today, mate?
Oh, very good. Thank you very much.
You've got to love that intro, mate. A couple of clips of you kicking goals.
Oh, well, you know, they're always good memories. You know, it seems like a million years ago now, but they're always good memories.
Absolutely. Now, Mil, you played for Carlton from 1986. You played your first game. We won't talk about that one too much. And then up to 97. But as a young fella, born in Lebanon and then come over here to Australia and got into your Aussie rules. What interested you in Aussie rules? What got you into it? And how did your junior career lead you up to coming to the Blues?
Oh, look, I can't actually really remember what interested me in AFL at the time. I think there were a couple of boys at primary school that sort of played, and funny enough, even though we had a lot of Greeks and Italians and Lebanese and sort of a lot of ethnics at the primary school, most of them played Aussie rules instead of soccer. And I was fortunate enough that I lived probably a couple of hundred metres from a local footy club where I played junior footy, and I just started from there. So it was, a bit of a blur how I really got into it, but I think the proximity was one of the main reasons.
Nice work. Now, we've got Chris Brownie and Craig Bradford, my fellow panellists, every week here on the show, and they've got a couple of questions they want to fire at you before I come on and ask a stupid one, which I always do. So I'll send you over to Chris and let them fire away.
Yeah, good morning, Mill. Chris here, mate. How are you going?
How are you, Chris? Good, thanks, mate.
Yeah, good, mate. Let's continue on from those early days. As you said, you're a local boy and you played your early football for Brunswick East, I think, and if I recall, they wore Collingwood jumpers. Who did you follow?
They did.
Who did you follow as a kid?
Well, believe it or not, I followed Carlton.
Good man.
Lucky.
I was one of the lucky ones. So, yeah, no, I was very fortunate. I was in the zone there, so it was good.
Yep, mate. While you're also there, as John mentioned before, you were first Lebanese-born player to play in the VFL AFL. I'm pretty sure you would have copped some choice words on the field back in those days.
Oh yeah, look, you know, I wasn't the only one, but yeah, certainly, you know, I did, and I think a lot of it came, there was a bit of stuff relating to the fact that, you know, I was, came from Lebanon. I went back in those days, you know, call them wogs, and a fair bit of it also came from the fact I was losing my hair in those early years when I was young, and, there were all sort of words were being used, but I don't know, you just got used to it back then. It was one of those things where, it was just normal practice out in the field.
Yeah, mate, let's just go back to that. You were chosen to play round one in 1986 out at Waverley against the Hawks. What was that build-up like before your debut game?
Oh, it was a dream come true, mate. It was, as I said, I was a fanatical Carlton supporter as a kid. And I remember getting an opportunity to go and train with the under-19s in 1982. And at that time, all I was thinking about was just being able to play one game for the under-19s. So, you know, fast forward 4 years and, you know, the sort of excitement of, you know, the thought of playing my first AFL game, it seemed like a bit of a dream, really. So it was, it was one of the memories I do remember.
Mate, that game, if I was actually there that game, you actually, early, right at the start, ball comes down, you take a fantastic mark, you're playing it full forward, you go back, you just miss the set shot, and just minutes after that, you go for a lead and you do your ACL. The highs and lows of the game right there, Mill. How'd you feel? You would have been shattered.
Oh, it was, you know, I remember coming off the ground and Stephen Gough at the time said, can you just have a little run to see if you can come back on the field? And I started running. I thought, oh, this didn't feel too good. I said, look, mate, the knee just doesn't feel too good. And I remember sitting in the change rooms at the end of the game and the doc at the time was looking at me and I was just shattered, and I said to him, mate, just give me the best and worst case scenario. And he said, look, best case scenario, you'll be out for a week. He said, worst case scenario, you'll be out for 4 weeks. Now, when he said 4 weeks, I was shattered. I thought, 4 weeks? I've just started my career. I'm going to be out for 4 weeks. And the next day, diagnosis, I was out for 14 months.
Oh, wow.
So wasn't a good diagnosis by that doctor.
Is that doctor gone now?
No, look, that doctor's a friend of mine as well, and he continued to, practice in the AFL with a couple of clubs and worked with a couple of younger 18 teams. He's a good man. Yeah, I always remind him of it.
Sounds like Con Dicolatius. A couple of days, mate. A couple of days.
Yes, exactly. Well, he was Italian as well. So.
There you go.
G'day, Mill. It's Craig Bradford here. How are you?
Good, Craig. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. On the back of all that, we'll skip through to 1995. Great year for the Blues. Premiership player. How was it leading up to the grand final, and just how did you feel when that flag went? I mean, that siren went, sorry.
Oh, look, leading up to that game, obviously, you know, we'd had a tremendous year and, you know, won the last 15 in a row. And you know, I was feeling quietly confident, and we were all feeling pretty quite confident. And, you know, we knew that the Geelong team was confident as well. And, you know, I think we were slight underdogs at the time. And it was just it was actually just a normal build-up to a game. But it was, for me, it was a combination of the disappointment of 94 the year before, which we were, you know, I thought we were red-hot favourites and, you know, to get bundled out. And then the year before that, 93, when we got jumped at the start. And, you know, and I always think back and think, you know what, we won one, but, God, we should, probably should have won two or three during that time. So, you know, not that I thought it was my absolute last chance to win a premiership, but I thought, God, we need to win this one because, you know, I was 28 or 29 of where I was, and a lot of my teammates were older. But in saying that, as I said, we were quietly confident, and there was just an air of, I wouldn't say arrogance, but there was something in the rooms that just felt, this energy in the rooms that you know, we thought we'd win that game.
Yeah, most of the 95 guys we've spoken to, they said the same thing. They came in with the sunglasses and the rock star, all the arrogance and everything else along that came along with being favourites. And Parco, of course, master coach. Yeah. It was pretty bad coaching, I reckon, by Gary Ayres to allow that sort of stuff to go. Now, serious question, mate. You were sort of celebrated as a big-bodied wingman, and you talk about the Anthony Koutafidis and the Patrick Cripps guys and these guys that come along later, but you were the first sort of real big-bodied wingman that took the game by the scruff of your neck with his strength and everything else that you did then. Was that something that, you know, you had three coaches. You had David Walls and then Alex Jezolenko and... David Walls, did I just say? Robert Walls?
Yeah.
Jesus, I know my history, don't I? Robert Walls... Alex Jezolenko and David Parkham. Was it any of those coaches that started influencing that and sort of penciling you in for a midfield or wing role for someone of your size?
Look, you know, I mean, early in my career, I was playing a fair bit on the forward line. And then I was sort of struggling a bit in my early years. And then Robert Walls decided to play me in the back line. There was one particular game that wasn't in the senior team, and there was a late withdrawal. Tommy Alvin was injured, and he put me in, and he said, "Righto, here's your chance. You got to go and play on Nicky Winmar, halfback." And that was my break, and I sort of never looked back, and I think I didn't play another reserve game for about another 10 years after that. So I sort of started early in my career in the halfback line, and then we got some good players in the team, like Andy McKay, who came over and all that, and then I sort of got shunted out to the wing. Look, I always remind Anthony Koutafidis, I said to him, "Mate, don't worry about your body." I said, "I was one of the first big ones, so I always had a crack at him about that." So, we're sort of good friends about that. But, yeah, look, it was just one of those things where guys came into the team, you know, they just shuffled things around, and I quite liked that position because it was, you know, you could run. I wouldn't say my endurance was the absolute best. So it was, you know, it was an opportunity where you could play that wing and not having to run all over the field like the midfielders did. So it was, it was cool. And then, you know, it's quite an enjoyable position.
Now, I'm glad you did mention that conversation with Anthony Koutafidis and also coming in for Tommy Alvin, because in our promos we had a couple of great shots. The one with you and Tommy Alvin together, the long and the short of it with the hairstyles.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also the calendar shoot there, mate, just showing off the abs and the pecs a little bit. And reminds me also that Kate made special mention to make sure she tells you how much she still loves you. and she wanted to make sure she passed that on. And she's a ripper.
She's a ripper. She's a beautiful girl, and, you know, sort of, remember her coming into the club with her dad when she was only very young, and you know, I sort of automatically clicked with Alex, and you know, we got on well, and you know, he was a very good coach for me. But you know, the as far as the, what we're talking, you're asking about the calendar?
Yep.
Yeah, the calendar shape, mate. The you know, the posing.
Well, you know, it was one of those things where in the early years, you know, as young AFL footballers do, you learn to, you figure out how you can make extra money on the side. And I had a friend of mine who was a photographer. We decided to sort of start this little business. And I always remind my wife and my daughter at the time, and they have a go at me, they see a couple of old shots. I said, "Listen, don't you forget that I was actually a model back then." they're always hanging it on me. So I've always got that to go by.
Mate, I just got to go back to that 93 grand final v. Essendon. Early in the second quarter, that thug Dean Wallace collects you with a forearm, all but knocks you out. The umpire didn't even pay a free kick. Do you recall any of it?
I don't actually recall it, to be honest with you. I have no recollection. I mean, I've seen it a couple of times on the replay and a couple of times when people Google me and they see me on a stretcher, which is, you know, in that particular game. But, look, that were the times back then. You know, the things you could get away with back then compared to now were completely different, you know, and blokes were, you know, had roles back then that were set out to do that kind of thing. And I'm sure that before the game, Sheeds would have said to Wallace, look, here's a number of players you need to target, and at any opportunity, just take them out. Yeah, you know, and that was one of the things that, you know, that made football back then like it was. But, you know, I do remember coming back onto the field after I was taken off and getting the ball, and I think, I can't remember if I momentarily started running the other way, so I had no idea where I was. So, you know, I mean, obviously with the concussion rules not around back then, you know, I wouldn't imagine I'd be allowed back on the field now.
Just got an SMS from Cameron McLean, who's the host of the AFL Masters show before us, just saying, going well, boys, loved Mill as a kid, Cam McLean. Now, Cam McLean's a Port Adelaide supporter, so the fact that he has any memory at all is fantastic for him. So thanks for that, Cam. Any more questions, boys, for the great man?
Yep. Just got a quick one. Mill, in 2016, you were inducted into the Carlton Hall of Fame. Mate, there's some great people on there. Does this just make your achievements and your career even more proud, I suppose?
It does, because, you know, I mean, the grand final was the pinnacle. 95 was the pinnacle. But I must say, when I got home one night in that year and I grabbed the letter from the letterbox, I didn't even know what the hell it was. It was just a letter. And I opened it up and I had no idea before that. It was a complete surprise, and the letter said that, you know, you've been inducted into the Hall of Fame. You know, that made me quite emotional, and it was as special to me as the 95 Grand Final, particularly when you look at the people in that Hall of Fame, and the fact that I was at Carlton. I started as a 15-year-old in 1982, and then I spent more than half my life by the time I'd retired. So, you know, that club means a lot to me. I was a supporter as a young kid, so... Yeah, it's it'll be close to my heart forever, and you know, it's to think that, you know, a little Lebanese kid is in that Hall of Fame is, you know, it's quite special.
Absolutely. Now, we do have to wrap it up, mate. But before we go, just one more for you. You the old, as you mentioned before, the old alopecia kicked in fairly early in your life, and Rex Hunt famously started dubbing you the Cranium, and he loved that call, and he called it out with great vigour and enthusiasm. When you were playing out there on the field, was it something that the opposition players or supporters or anything like that maybe tried to grab a hold of and give you any ribbing about it or anything like that, or was it all just a bit of fun?
Oh, look, you know, in those days, you know, the players were a bit different, you know, not so much about the Cranium, but they'd use other words and, you know, you bald-headed whatever bastard and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that, I didn't worry about that. Look, the thing about those days, mate, at the end of the game, you all shook hands, you had a beer afterwards, there was no issues at all. So it was, everyone knew the rules. And but, you know, as far as Rexy's concerned, I love Rexy. And, you know, part of me, I suppose, I attribute to him because of that sort of name and the calling, so it's all part of the colour of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mill, it's been an absolute... Oh, sorry, Chris, you've obviously got another question.
No, I've got plenty more. I've got plenty more questions.
Yeah, well, mate, we've got to go to an ad in 5 minutes, and I've got a few other things to talk about, so I'm going to cut you off. Now, mate, thanks very, very much for coming on to the show today, Mill. It's been fantastic talking to you. Great to go through your career again. It was a fantastic career that you should be very proud of, and you're an iconic player and a fantastic player for Carlton. So thank you for all the wonderful memories, and thanks for coming on this morning to Breakfast with the Blues.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it. And go the Blues.
Go Blues.
The mighty Blues. You're
thanks, Mill.
Thanks, Mill.
Yeah, Millam Hannah, what an absolute legend. What an honour it is to have him on the show today.
Yeah, there was plenty more questions I was actually going to ask.
Yeah, I had a few more.
There was one there I don't think a lot of people know, but when he finished at Carlton, he actually trained with Richmond pre-season in a hope to be drafted. But they got rubbed out of the draft because they were over the salary cap, so that was the end of his career.
Yep. Now, just a reminder, everyone, and thanks to Cam for that text earlier. If you do have a question for the Hyphen coming up after the ad break, or for myself, Chris, or Craig, you can send your text to 0429 913 913. That's 0429 913 913. That's the 91.3 Sport FM text number, SMS number. So please send us a text. Now, just a reminder again, we got the raffles, the Sid Jackson. We've only got today and tomorrow to buy a ticket if you're interested in buying a ticket. $5 a ticket or 3 for $10. And it is that magnificently framed, signed blue-out jumper by the great man, Sid Jackson. We had him at the Empire last year. Fantastic. What a fantastic day that was, and what a great
awesome
guy.
Day.
Absolutely drank us all under the table. Not bad for a 163-year-old man. he's an absolute champion of a fella. So, and a champion footballer and a just champion in every aspect of his life. So, absolutely try and get some tickets in that and hopefully get your hands on that great price. Now, we've got the season raffle as well. It's the Big Mark Murphy commemorative signed jumper framed. A little bit more special, that one, for a season raffle prize and heaps of runner-up prizes. We got the team signed, squad signed, I should say, 2020 football that's been specially mounted in a Perspect box and everything else with a nice plaque on it, thanks to our friends at Allmark as well. And a couple of $200 vouchers from Barbaro Butchers, from Master Picture Framers, $200 voucher. The Empire, $200 food and beverage voucher. $350 sports impact from Hyundai, major sponsor. Thank you, Hyundai. And a $100 WA Blues kit, just a little six-can cooler bag with coffee cup, travel mug, all the rest of it. If there are more Carlton people out there, business owners, and you want to contribute to the runner-up prizes, please chuck them in there. Get in contact with us on the Facebook page. So that's about it. I think what we'll do is go to an ad break. Is there anything else you want to chuck in there before we do, fellas?
Nope, all good.
Go
all
Blues.
Right. Go Blues, yeah.
Speaking of the cranium, yeah. Thanks for that, Craig. And we'll say go Blues and go to an ad.
What's wrong, David Walls?
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger. Station
sponsor. Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. From our functions and events, you can find out about further upcoming local events. Carlton Football Club memberships, purchase of local WA Blues merchandise, season raffle tickets, even Carlton number plates for your car. Just look for one of the committee shirts and ask one of your friendly representatives for any information. We as a committee also help Carlton with pre- and post-match functions whenever the Carlton Football Club teams travel to Perth. Attending the pre-match functions gives you the chance to win match day ground passes. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues! Station
sponsor. We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth. And they will know that they've been playing
against the famous Old Dark Blues. Welcome back to Breakfast with the Blues, everyone. You're here with John, Chris and Craig, and a special hello out there to David Walls, if you're listening.
he might be busy at Princess Park.
Announced him earlier as a coach of back then. That was pretty embarrassing. Thanks for Craig for lining me up on that one. Now, look, as always, guys, it is time to bring on our great mate. Let's just bring him in for a tick.
Jones plays. Oh, what a mark!
First time in my career I'd actually been given instructions to get out and whack someone.
He's been reported.
Reece Jones just came in. And...
oh, they're having a go now.
I'm glad I'm in Melbourne.
David Reece Jones, welcome to Breakfast with the Blues for the first time today.
Hey, good to hear from you guys.
That's the way, hyphen. Now, Mate, we would have been playing the Bullies today. I know you've probably got lots of horrible, horrible memories from down at that bloody Junction Oval.
Western Oval.
Oh, Western Oval, whatever. I don't know. I'm from WA, mate. That's I don't know these bloody...
Leave it to us.
Dung heaps that you guys
used to wear. Leave it to us Victorians. Yeah,
muddles. So anyway, what we'll do is Chris is going to do a very, very quick rundown review of last year's game against the Bullies where Charlie kicked 7 goals, and then we'll jump in and reminisce about some good old days.
Yep. Well, the Bulldogs led by 19 points at the first break, and they should have been further in front. We looked wobbly as the margin stretched to 34 points, but a team-lifting goal from the Crews helped to drag the score back to 21 points at half-time. The Bulldogs' lead was 6 points at the last change after Charlie Curnow inspired Carlton with 3 majors in the third. The Dogs had the game in their keeping, but the Blues came again, only to be denied in a frantic final moments. Josh Dunkley was best for the Dogs with 41 possession and 10 tackles. Charlie Curnow was a star for the Blues, along with his brother Ed, who was crucial by curbing Marcus Bontempelli when he went to him early in the second quarter. It was Charlie's breakout game with 7 majors, and we just got pipped, and I'll put my teeth back in now that I've said that.
Just a reminder of what a talent Charlie Curnow is. How important is he to us, Hyfe?
Oh, look, very, very important, and it's a real shame that he won't be playing at all this year. You know, we're only, less than 2 weeks away from the first round, and isn't that exciting? You know, we've got Melbourne first up, and I think we can roll in, actually. I think we can take it up to them. They've been in any sort of form, really, over the last 18 months or so could be a good one to start with, but... We're so much better when you've got a guy like Charlie Curnow in our team. He could be a freak. He could be an outstanding footballer, and let's just hope we can get him on the paddock and out there and show what he can do.
Look, what he does have on his side is time and youth, and he's still a very young man. So, you know, we know that he's just going to pay us back in spades. He's too good a talent. Now, you mentioned about the Melbourne game. I think it's interesting that Tom DeConning, outstanding young man and emerging ruckman, has gone down as well. I actually think that works in our favour. You know, we're going to be forced to play Mark Pittenett in the ruck with Levi as a backup. With this type of game that they're playing, it's going to be dynamic, shorter quarters, fast game. I think it takes away the temptation to play Pittenett and TDK and go with a fast side. What do you guys think about that? I'll go to you first, Chris.
Yeah, totally agree with you. By all reports, Pittenett's flying on the track, says Andrew Russell. Best he's ever been, and he would know because he had him at Hawthorn.
And I was reading a report during the week about Big Levi.
Yep.
He's training the house down. I watched a little snippet the other day of their training. I think it was Cripp on the half forward flank, went to kick it, or whatever it was. Someone got in Casbolt's way, bang, just bowled him straight over.
Nick Newman, I think.
Yeah. And McGovern is looking fit.
Yeah.
Like,
he's off the KFC, mate.
He's off the Ashley Sampy diet.
Yeah, so looking good. Nice looking
work.
Real good.
Yeah. Nice. Speaking of people that are off the diet, I don't know if you guys have been watching the 15 for 15 challenge on Facebook.
But Reece Jones.
Now, I remember the very first day. I don't think you got to 15. I think you got to 14, wasn't it, Hyfe, or something like that? You didn't.
No, I got to 15. I made 15 on the first one, 15 push-ups. And
glad I'm in Perth.
Yeah, and I got to 35 yesterday.
Oh, good effort.
2 days to go, and tomorrow's the last day. I'll see what I can do today very shortly, actually.
Now, listen, guys, I've actually picked in and donated to David's cause. Have any of you two blokes kicked in yet?
I did.
Well done.
I'm on the second divorce property settlement diet, so I've kicked in $15.
Okay.
I think you've kicked in a ton, haven't you, Chris?
Yeah,
great work.
100, yeah.
What about you, Brownie?
No, Bradford.
Bradford.
Well,
Baldy.
Baldy.
I am very uneducated with this, how to do stuff. So when I get my stuff done today for the Sid Jackson, I promise you, David, that I will be donating money today.
Bought tickets in the Sid Jackson.
You need to kick in 100 for David.
Mate, you got to lift your game. You're a disgrace.
Thank you.
So what we'll do now is,
Dave,
I'm going to ask you some questions about the Western Oval and horrible memories of that dung heap that out there that the Bullies used to play. They had some pretty mean players playing from snipers like Wallace and different other players at Footscray. So you got any memories that you'd like to share from playing at that horrible playground?
Oh, look, yeah, it was terrible. And if you won out there, which we often did, you'll guarantee cold showers after the game. freezing cold showers too, but... The wind always blew there. It always seemed to head to one end, and it was always seemed to be windy out there, and so I remember playing at full forward one day, and the wind was were kicking into the wind, and it was absolutely a gale. I was up at full forward on Rick Kennedy, and he was standing on my toes, and he's pinching me, and the ball's 100 yards away, and got absolutely no hope of getting up there. So anyway, it was only us two and the goal umpire, basically, and every time I had a crack at him, the goal umpire was running out and saying, "I'm going to report you, Reece Jones." And I said, "Mate, you watch what he's doing to me, or I'm going to whack it straight in the chin. I'll knock him out in a minute." And anyway, the goal umpire had no idea what he was doing. He's pinching me, standing on my toes. Oh, it's driving me mad. And the ball was 100 yards away. Never had a chance of coming down. So, yeah, Rick Kennedy's a nice bloke off the field, but an absolute mongrel on it.
Did what they had to do, didn't they, back then?
Hey, David, you actually made your debut for the Blues in round one in 85 against the Dogs at Princess Park. Do you remember or recall that day?
Yeah, I do. I do. Brad Hardy's first game too at West Australian came over, and I think he got best on ground that day. But, so it wasn't a great start for, obviously, Footscray beat us that day, and which was a bit of a shock, really. They weren't considered to be much of a team, but they had a couple of good players. You know, Brad Hardy, as I've mentioned, come into that team and he just ran around the back line at will sort of thing and picked up a lot of kicks. And I think he got 3 Brownlow votes for that first game as well. So,
mate, that day
that
was also a special day as Bruce Duell passed John Nicholls' games record. But as you said, the Dogs spoiled our party. They beat us by 5 goals, and I think it was Simon Beasley kicked 9 goals on Dooley that day. Was there any big build-up because of the breaking of the record or anything like that?
No, not really. Being a first game, everyone's pumped up and ready to go anyway. So, there wasn't much. And then Bruce, being Bruce, he didn't want any fanfare about it. So... nothing on that side, but we're keen and we had a pretty good team in that day and just didn't perform really and Footscray really got hold of us that day it was not a great day for me first game.
What year was that, Chris? 83 or 84?
85.
85. Because you rattled off some names here. I'm just thinking of, as I always do, of some great West Australians that played at the top level there. So, Brad Hardy, Simon Beasley, and then we, of course, had Kenny Hunter. Not sure if Buzz was still there in 85 or not.
He'd gone.
He might have gone, but, we still had a plethora of running around there, some top-level players.
David, that game again, you actually top-scored for the Blues. You kicked 3. Where did you play that day? Was it on a wing?
I was on a half-forward flank, actually. I was on a half-forward flank, and, I was a little bit lost there, to be perfectly honest, because I'd played a bit of key position. I'd played centre forward for the Swans before that, but where you're a bit more general. But Jono was over on one flank and I was on the other one, and I was sort of, McClure in the centre forward, so I was a little bit unknown where I should have been running to. I got a couple of goals, so... it wasn't too bad a performance, I suppose.
Mate, to follow on again, the return match that year was out at the Western Oval, and the Dogs smashed us again, this time by 47 points. And I think you were named a full forward. Did you start there, and how did you go?
I reckon that might have been the day that I was up with Rick Kennedy, I reckon.
Would have been. I'd say
that,
so.
That it was just blowing 100 miles an hour down one end. And it could have been that day. But, We normally had a pretty good record against Footscray too, so it was just that year, 85, and it just didn't go well for us.
Mate, I hated going out there to watch it because it was always wet and windy and blowing a gale, as you said.
Yeah, and look, at times, I played a lot of my career on the wing too, and played on Dougie Hawkins a few times, and he was an absolute marvel, Dougie. A great footballer, and I reckon he's one of the most underestimated footballers, probably because of some of his off-field activities, and he likes a beer and a good time, Dougie, but he was a great footballer,
he
very,
was a
very hard to play.
Fantastic wingman, Dougie Hawkins. Oh. I remember watching him in the 80s. There were some good skilled footballers back then. Over to you, Bradford. What do you got, Baldy?
just call me Mill, thanks.
Alopecia, Bradford.
uh, 1987, David, a game against the Bulldogs at then Princes Park. The first 5 minutes, mate, you're on fire. You had five possessions, took a huge specky on the halfback flank, and then they'll rub it into you, calling you the $5,000 man. That day, did you think this is my day, having a start like that?
Yeah. I think I started on Murray Rance.
Murray Rance.
I took about three or four marks over him, and it was one of those days where the ball just kept coming to us, and I kept grabbing it. So Murray seemed to be sitting under the ball a fair bit that day, so I was able to jump on him a few times and take a couple of good grabs. You always like that when you start a game. And the ball kept coming to us, so it was good. But that first quarter was probably one of my better quarters of football throughout my career. Really, it was a pretty good quarter.
There's just a player that I want to ask you about as well. I played a lot.
Sounded a bit like Dougie Hawkins then. Ask.
Ask him a question, right?
Sorry, okay, mate.
A guy that I played a lot of basketball against, Peter Dean. He just had that to win attitude, tough, hard. What was it like actually playing alongside him? And I obviously see that he had that in his football game as well.
Yeah, Deanie was fantastic. He never gave up at any opportunity. But when I went back to the back line, in 87, I started playing a bit in the back line there. And blokes like Soss and Deanie in particular was really good at covering for other people as well. He had a real defensive sense about him. And quite often, you get caught out of position and the ball would come back quick and next minute, Deanie would be spoiling your opponent who was, probably 40 or 50 metres away. But he just had that uncanny defensive senses about him. And he was tough and hard, too. He just didn't take a back and step.
Hated losing.
He had that arm guard. It was like a bit of steel on his arm, sort of thing.
It was like one of those pro wrestler things, the arm guard, wasn't it? It was fighting.
Just
a whack people.
He got a few with that one.
Now, that's why they called Deanie the General as well, and he was very good at organising the back line and directing people where to go. And I remember playing footy, blokes like that on the field. That's how they used to train as well. So what was Deanie like on the training track?
Well, when you said, I don't know what you guys call him, but his nickname down the footy club was Helmet.
Yeah, the helmet.
We reckon he had the helmet cut when he used to go there.
Geez, I would have hated to play footy with you, blokes.
I'd be fine.
But, he was just a great competitor,
Deanie. Mate, I don't know what it is today, but I keep going back to old games at Footscray where we got smashed. Mate, the game again out at the Western Oval. It's always at the Western Oval. 1991. I don't think you played in the match. It was when we only kicked one goal with 33 seconds to spare in the game and Mark Arcieri kicked it. Do you recall that one?
I certainly do because I wasn't playing that day and I was sitting in the grandstand directly behind John Elliott. And the Footscray supporters were giving it to him for the first half. And in the second half, the Carlton supporters were all walking past giving it to him. And I was just sitting there with my head in my hands. It was great because Mark kicked a goal in the last quarter to at least get one goal on the board. I think we kicked about 14 points or something.
Just a soft tissue injury for you that day, was it, mate, or suspension?
Suspension.
No. That was where I had some real issues with my knees. I'd gone through operation after operation. I didn't play that many games in the last 3 years, and that was my second last year. And I think I only played one game that year. I'd come back and played one game and realised my knee wasn't right. Went back and had to get it.
And that was just on the that was just on the pinball machine too. The knees couldn't land like this.
I went through a couple of rough years with knee injuries and could save my career towards the end.
Righto, one more, Bradford.
Another player that interested me was Paul Meldrum. Like, it's rumoured 86, I think it was. He just walked in off the street and asked for a game of footy. Or was it before
I think
that?
It was before then. I think he got there in the early 80s. But I think that was a bit of a myth, and I think it was, uh, is had a little bit of truth to it, but not much. You know what I mean? I think they also had their eye on him. He was a local lad sort of thing, so they knew a little bit about him. But yeah, look, he would have won the Brownlow. I think was 87. Mm. He was he had 15 votes about halfway through the year and was just, you know, romping it in and just playing sensational football. But he was actually in the car behind Motts. Peter Motley when Motley got hit, and that really did take a real toll on him. And Molly really struggled after that. You know, I mean, he played our premiership that year. He's a great footballer, but he was playing elite football before that happened. And you know, you can imagine being right behind you know that crash certainly affected him for, you know, probably the rest of his life, you know.
Yeah, change man.
Never forget something like that.
Change man, that's what these things do. Oh, there we go, that's the siren, time to go. Hi, thanks very much for coming on again this week. That was a great chat. We should do it like that a little bit more often. Just talk about whatever we want, or talk crap, or have fun. And
I'll pump up.
Bloody beautiful. Talk about shitty grounds.
No, I'll pump up some good games.
Did I just swear on radio again?
No, not at all. I'll pump up some good games next week.
All right, excellent. Okay, mate, thanks very much for coming on again. We love it every week. So are the supporters. You're an absolute champion. Thank you very much for coming on the shirt front.
See you, Reece.
No worries, guys. Not far off starting again. No. Go Blue.
Go Blue Baggers.
Thanks, Dave.
Absolute ripper.
He's a good bloke, isn't he?
Right, we've got a couple of minutes to go, guys. So, he's got a very good memory. Like, same as you blokes,
but
sometimes.
I must admit, that ground, because Warrnambool wasn't far from Footscray. My mum would...
Warrnambool wasn't far from Footscray?
It's not that far.
Mate, we don't have time for you to ask any more questions.
I wouldn't want to walk it.
But it's the closest ground from Warrnambool.
Yeah, I'll buy a train, but...
But my mum would never take us there.
I would have thought the closest ground from Warrnambool would have been Geelong.
No, I'm not counting Geelong. It's not a ground.
Okay. Righto. Let's wrap this up. Right. It's been a great show, though. Thanks very much, Chris Brownie. Thanks very much to Dougie Hawkins Bradford over there and our cranium, of course. And thanks for me for just being an idiot, as always. Now... Look, just a reminder quickly about the raffles, guys. You've only got today and tomorrow to get some tickets in for the Sid Jackson. So send a private message to the WA Blues Facebook page saying how many tickets you want. It's $5 a ticket or 3 for $10. The ticket sales have been a little bit down compared to April. Was a boom one for the Cooter. The Sid Jackson one, for some reason, has been a little bit down.
Yeah, the money
so
will
if
go
you
up
do
this
get
other,
some
mate.
Tickets, you've got a very good chance of winning. So get in amongst it. We got a runner-up prize this month as well with the polo shirt. So get in amongst that, and if you want a ticket in the season raffle, I don't have time to rattle off all the amazing prizes in that again, but it's $10 a ticket, same deal. Send a private message to the WA Blues Facebook page. Do it now, do it tomorrow. You've got till the end of the season to get a ticket in the season raffle. Just like to thank our sponsors very much again, Hyundai WA, major sponsor of the WA Blues, platinum sponsors, Master Pitcher Framers, and Allmark and Associates. Thanks also to Perth Window Replacements for sponsoring the ads and on this show, and also to Barbaro Butchers for their amazing season raffle prize that they've contributed as well. It's been a great show. I'm getting Dougie Hawkins about me. What's going on? Thanks very much, guys. Hope you all enjoyed the show again today. Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues. Goodbye, David Walls.
God. And they will know that they've been playing against the fame.